A reading of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You know, every time a reading from John 17 comes forward in the lectionary, I think to myself, David, don't make them stand up for that whole prayer. So I lengthened it a little bit to verse 24. Now I just got bad news for you. We're going to read the whole prayer. I always think I can pull it off, but then I think to myself about this story that I heard one time on a radio. A man named Jack Hayford taught it. He was one of my teachers when I was growing up in the faith and listening to him on the radio. And he said, someone said to him, "Preacher, when I get to all them begats in the Old Testament, I just can't fight through it." And he said, "You'd read it if your name was in it." Jesus prays for you in this prayer, dear ones. This often is called a high priestly prayer. I think it's better called a prayer of consecration, of setting us apart, setting himself apart. And it's a long reading, so if you feel the need to sit down in the middle, it's okay. Jesus will still talk to you. But I want you to hear this whole prayer, because our Lord prayed it, and he prayed for you in it. Reading of the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours. And all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may truly be sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are in one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you had for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now, you may not have heard your specific name, but I trust that you heard Jesus give God thanks for glorifying him and giving him the chance to glorify the Father, because he and the Father are one. And then I imagine that you probably noticed that Jesus was praying for those disciples in the room with him, giving God thanks for giving them to him and seeing we only lost one, but he was the one who had to be lost. And they have been made one with me just as I am one with you. And then did you notice that he prayed for those who would hear through their words? Did you notice that? Jesus prayed for everyone who would hear about him from those people who were with him that moment. You are those people. Without them, none of us would ever have known about him. Without their being willing to live in oneness with Christ, none of us would have known about him at all. He would have faded into obscurity as just another criminal put to death by Rome. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's not a big history book full of all the names the Romans killed. Have y'all noticed that? The whole purpose was to erase them from public memory. And Jesus prayed for us who would know about him by their words. Why? Why pray for us? If the whole point is that I come to faith in Jesus, then that's an end accomplished. There's no need to pray for that. If I'm reading this, if I'm in a church where Jesus' prayer has been read, I'm baptized, I have faith in Christ, what need is there for him to worry about praying for me that I would join in this? Oh, wait, that's the need, that I would join in his work. Did you hear it? That we would join in the work that gives God glory, the laying down of ourselves and loving of other people. And that's hard work, because it doesn't put ourselves first. And the truth is, we love to put ourselves first. That's why the psalmist told us, don't be paying attention to the advice of wicked people. Well, how in the world would we define a wicked person? The harder I look around this world, it seems to me there's a whole lot of new ways to be wicked. But I think we would understand that a person that isn't wicked is a person that though they may sin, though they may fall, may they may do stupid things, that wicked people do, they are constantly turning to God. Is that fair? A person that hasn't given up on themselves even and continues to turn to God for help, continues to turn to God for advice, a person who does not hate God or hate the words of God, the promises of God, or even the commandments of God. And if you remember, last week Jesus told us that we are His friends when we keep His commandments. And one of the things that Christians are fond of forgetting is that the commandments of God that we read in the Old Testament are commandments of the same God that is incarnate in Jesus Christ. Christians are not dealing in two different gods, so we might come to understand that Jesus is here praying that we would all be so committed to the way of God that we would bring honor not only to the Father, but to Him and to the Spirit that dwells in us. But we can't do that on our own, can we? Some days I feel like I can barely tie my shoe right. That I'm a mistake waiting to happen. You ever feel that way? I'm one temper tantrum away from dropping the F word in a conversation. Don't laugh at me. Y'all been there too. Yep. It's hard, isn't it? To know the things that God expects of us, to want to keep them, to want to live up to it, to want to be hopeful and joyful in the world. It's hard. We should never be discouraged. Did you hear that in that hymn? I was discouraged this morning. Why should we be discouraged? It's hard, isn't it? That's why I think it's important for you to know that the Son of God prayed for you. And not to take any part of that prayer out just so we get out 2 minutes earlier. We need to know that. We need to know that God, through Christ, chose us for God's purposes in the world, to make Christ known, to make God known in the world, to be that imperfect vessel, as Paul says, in which the greatest treasure is hidden. A mother to the motherless, a nurturer to those who are unnurtured, someone who will care for others that people throw away. That's what we're called to be, a mother to one another. The church to be a mother. And I reflect back on my life, and I'm grateful for my mom. I'm grateful for the notes that she sent to me when I was in college that always kind of ended in the same way. Don't forget, God was always in there somewhere. Jesus is praying for us so that we will be like that. To constantly be reminding each other when we are discouraged that we are not alone in the world. Yes, we have been set apart from the world. Yes, we are not supposed to be like the world, but we are supposed to be in ministry to the world. And that sometimes is discouraging because when we walk out into the world, we see people who are hand over fist committed to the way of the wicked, to destroying everything around them. And that's what led one author, talking about Russian prisons in Soviet Russia, to write that the line between good and evil goes through the human heart, through each one of us. That's why Wesley wrote in his hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, and asked God to take away our leaning toward sinning, because even great Christians like Charles Wesley know that we have a tendency to forget our purpose. And dear ones, that's why Jesus prayed for us, that we would be one with Him, not just to be one with Him so that we can have heaven and all of that, but so that we can be His ambassadors in the world, because we are those who speak the word of God to the world so that the world might come to know that there is forgiveness of all the dark and hateful things we do to one another. That we can be transformed and our hearts can be released from all the carnage of destroying other people for our own gain. And you might think, well, I've never destroyed anyone, but have you not ever told gossip that hurts someone? Have you not ever called someone a mean name in the heat of an argument? Have you ever told someone they were dead to you? Or said in your own heart, this person is dead to me? We all struggle with that line that goes right between us. This call to walk the way of the wicked when we know that we have been prayed over to walk the way of the righteous, to walk the way of Christ who laid himself down for us, who didn't value his own life over ours. This is the one that prays for us, that we might find our joy complete in him. Listen to what he said. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one, not divided, not torn apart by the cares of the world, not torn apart because we're told that we can't disagree with each other and live together in love. What a lie of the devil that is. Listen, he goes on, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. He prays for us that we will be one with him and one with each other as a witness to the world that Jesus truly has been sent by God. That is our purpose, church. Everything else is secondary. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. And what is that glory? To love others as we love ourselves. Or as Jesus said in a different place, no one has greater love than this, that he give his life for his friend. I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Dear ones, what completes us is not the things we obtain, not our salary, not our job, not our marriage, not our mother, not our father. What completes us is being made one in Christ and being sanctified by him, which is a fancy word for being made holy. And holy doesn't mean that you have arrived at perfect behavior. It means that you have been set apart for a purpose, which is to bear witness to the reality of Jesus Christ to the world. We are in a strange place as a denomination now. And I've heard several mentions to me by, well, so-and-so's not coming back. Well, I'm not going to let myself hate somebody because they disagree with me. Period. Because I serve this Lord who prayed that all who are in him would be one. But we are in a weird time. In a weird time when the witness of the church is being torn apart left and right. And what the world sees is people at each other's throats, not people gathered around a table. I will not likely ever agree with the progressives in this denomination. It's just the truth. But I will not be forced to hate them because of this prayer. Because this Christ, this Jesus prayed that we would be one. It's hard, isn't it? The same thing goes out, And every time someone has left a congregation because somebody didn't send them a card or they changed the color of the carpet, All of those things happen, and usually we laugh about it, but all of those breaks show us that the church is not surrendered to Jesus' purpose for us. That, dear ones, is why there are Roman Catholics and Greek Orthodox and Southern Baptists and Methodists and Independent Methodists, Pentecostal Holinesses, Church of Christ, Church of God, Assemblies of God. That, dear ones, is why there is 3,000 some odd denominations in the world. Not because of rightness of opinion, but because of sin and brokenness. Because we have forgotten that the Son of God prayed that we would be one. And we have made our differences so great that we couldn't stay in union with one another. And we've allowed our opinions to divide the body of Christ. I don't see that in this prayer, do you? So it's been a pretty darn discouraging work this week to think about this prayer and what Jesus hoped for the church and see the church around the world as it exists today. Some people celebrate that we passed a Concord agreement with the Church of England to enter into full communion with them. That's good. It should have never been necessary. That's the hard part that we confront when we hear this. Our joy is not made complete in our rightness, but as we are made one with each other through Christ. And any of you who have known the joy of fellowship with another Christian know that that's true. So I hope you won't forget that Christ prayed for you, that Christ prayed for us, and that most of all what Christ was praying for was the one true, holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, of which every believing, baptized Christian is part of. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.